Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 139. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Now we're brought to it. He's saying all the way back from your very beginnings, I was there and I knew you. I was there and I saw you. I was there and you were not hidden from me. I think it was in the late 70s when they came out with the Life magazine with the first photos of babies in utero. And they were beautiful and they were colorful and they were clear and they were amazing and they would take your breath away. And now we live in a generation where young people are being confronted with a truth that has actually made them become a little bit more conservative than our generation was, because they've got the internet. They can look up pictures like that. And they can follow the thread and realize that what was being done in all those decades was a real terrible thing that was being done. The deception was taken away and the light was turned on. And it has been more and more to this day. And therefore, a lot of abortion clinics are closing, thank God. But it's still a huge problem, because even if you know something is wrong, you might do it anyway now. And that's even worse. Okay, deception is one thing. Sins of ignorance, ouch. You find out later, oops. But now, because of our generation and the frog in the kettle situation and everything's applauded that should be appalling, what we're seeing now is young people might be making the decisions with impudence of faith and going forward anyway. It's a scary day when that happens, because it carterizes even more deliberately the tender souls that once would have never thought they could have done such things. Oh, be tired with yourself. Be done with yourself. Give it up and give it to Jesus. He knew, and that's what we've been finding out. His omniscience, His omnipresence, He was there, He saw, He knows your thoughts, He knows the words that are going to come, He knows when you'd say, yes, go ahead, let's do this operation, He knows. And He does know, and He wants you to know He knows. So you'll say, wait a minute, why didn't you stop me? I didn't stop you because I made you a free agent. But I need you to know that in making you a free agent, I knew it was going to be a messy enterprise. And I was willing for that. Because I wanted you to be my sons and my daughters. I wanted you to know me, because I am love and I understand you and I see you and I accept you if you will come to me. I can cleanse that thing. I can take care of that. That's what He would say to you, and that's what He would say to me. He says, you possess my reins. You covered me in my mother's womb, in verse 13. That's an interesting thing, because the idea here before us is the idea that He actually possessed our emotion. You know, if you get into a little bit of an altercation in a marriage, if you go after somebody and says, why did you do that? That's hard, because that comes at them and they want to defend. But if you go to them and you say, you know, when you did that, it made me feel like I was worthless. It's a totally different thing. And when it says He has possessed my reins, it means He's possessed my heart. He knew how I would feel. He knew how I would react. He knew how I would think about things. He possessed that. He knew it. He knew it, yada, over and over again. He knew, such knowledge. All that knowledge, too wonderful for me. First several verses. He was everywhere. He saw everything that could be done and would be done. And He said, I know how you're going to feel. I know how you're going to react. Now, I want to tell you the neatest thing about the love story that is Jesus to my heart in recent days. And it's this, that He knew there'd be a lot of collateral damage, and that some people would not come, but those who would come, He would receive, and He would have a full house when the wedding supper took place. So He was out getting the maimed and the broken, that'd be me. He was out going out and He's saying, compel them to come in. And what was happening was, He was filling a house for a party that was going to be for eternity. And He knew it would be a messy enterprise, but He did it anyway. So not only did Jesus die for us, but He also allowed those who would not come, would not come, not could not, but would not. That was their choice. And there are people who walk away, bah, humbug the whole thing, and go on their way. And by the time they get in the end of their life, they are sitting in the seat of the scornful because they've got nothing but darkness. They've got nothing but contempt because their decisions they superimpose upon God as if it's His fault. No, you can come to Jesus at any moment. He can clean the whole thing up. He can take and make you a new creature. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation altogether. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what He does. And He can do that today for anybody who thinks they're wounded or too bad or too sinful. God can renew a life. What a neat thing to know. But He's willing for the collateral damage to get to those free agents who said, yes, I will go to Jesus. I will arise and go to my Father. It starts out with my Creator. Then I realize He always was the Father because He's the one who generated all of us. Creator, yes, our Father. But some just walk away and they become chaff. They become goats. They become carterized. They become brutish beasts. Now the Bible says, but you possessed my reins, my heart. You knew what I would do and you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now when you look at some of the words here, you know, you see Him saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and how marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. All of these words in here are very powerful, but what He's really doing is He's drilling into a reason for praise. As I said at the outset, you might feel nervous about somebody coming and attending to your wound. You've searched me, you've known me. That's what we saw in verse 1. He gets to the place altogether where He's comfortable with that. And we need to keep that line open, right? That line of communication, that line of relationship. We need to keep that good because that's the one that's really your lifeline. It's not your marriage partner. It's not your children. It's not your job and it's not your strength or your youth. It is Jesus that is your lifeline. You keep that one open, it's good. It's good. Doesn't matter what comes. You've got Him and He's got you. In fact, sometimes when you let go by accident, you find out He will hold you fast. Like the little children, when you walk them between you and you swing them on your hands and they go flying for a little bit and you bring them down. He has got you. You thought you were holding on to Him? No. You couldn't hold on. When you get weak, that's when He shows up as being what He always was anyway. You think things are good? You think you're getting it going on? You ain't getting it going on. He's just helping you along. It's like the little boy who was shooting baskets with his daddy. His daddy picks him up and he puts him up there and lets him dunk the ball. He says, I did it, I did it. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You did not. What you did was you had your Father under you, and that's the way it works. The Bible says in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee. The word substance means my power, my bones. He's talking about in the mother's womb. He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. My bones were known. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. And when he talks about being made, the word means to be fashioned. He says, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, in the womb he's talking about. The word curiously wrought, it has the idea of being embroidered. It has the idea of needlework. I remember one man speaking on the Sanctity of Life issue somewhere. It might have been a Sunday, a Sanctity of Life Sunday, and he was talking about how when people go in with the abortionist tools, they're reaching into the very fingers of God. God loves the little children. Let the little children come unto me and don't forbid them. We're living in a day where it's all about, no, I don't like children. I don't want you. It's not about you. It's about God. Let them come to me. Let them come to me. Forbid them not, for of such are the kingdom of heaven. You know, we've lost the idea and the reality that children are very much open to Jesus. Somehow we've lost the idea. We think, well, we'll let them choose. Yeah, well, if you let them choose and you don't give them any information, that's like saying that door's got a lion in it and that door's got a trampoline and some playground stuff in it. You just go ahead and choose. Well, are you going to tell them what's behind the one door? Or are you just going to, you're going to say, well, that door over there is a good one. You're going to like that one. I'll tell you what, children, they can respond well. They love it when you sit down and read them Bible stories. They love it when you sit down and read them anything. But if you read them Bible stories, they get double duty right there. I told you about my little granddaughter, Malaya. Her mama was teaching her the song, Jesus Loves Me. And she kind of changed the words. I'm like that. I change the words all the time. Ask Mark. He's up here and I'm singing something else. But she was singing it and it was like, Jesus loves me, this I know. And she says, Malaya. She was putting her name in it. She put her name in the song. And it was just the most pretty thing. And they got it on video. That's one thing about Sammy. She's always got the camera ready. And Malaya, you know. Listen, you know, you kids love being loved. You tell them Jesus loves them and they're like, what? Really? Show them a little picture of a little kid sitting on their lap. It's amazing. No, he says, my substance, he says, I was curiously wrought. He says, you made me in secret. And he says, you did it. Your eyes saw my substance being yet imperfect. The word imperfect is the word for an embryo or a fetus. Your eyes saw my substance yet being an embryo. That's not any clearer than that. You remember when Jesus and John were still in utero and Mary goes to see Elizabeth, who, you know, is ready to have her baby a little before Jesus. And when Mary showed up, we remember Elizabeth saying, the babe leapt in my womb when you showed up, because Jesus was there and he somehow sensed by the Spirit in him that this was Jesus. The baby! It's a baby! It's always a baby when you're keeping it, isn't it? It's these folks who want to kind of depersonalize because they don't want to think about it. Bible says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being of embryo, verse 16, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Isn't that a cool verse? It's like he says there's a 9-month period here, and there's fashioning going on, and when you think about the word fashion, that word means to form or frame, and it has a special connection with a potter molding and pushing this thing that way and another way to make it exactly what it needs to be. It says, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. So he actually goes from, you formed me, you saw me, you fashioned me, and now he's saying everything you did was thoughtful. Everything. Do you know that's a powerful thing? Because if you are an especially athletic and strong person, God gave you that. If you're an especially attractive person, God gave you that. He gave that. He thought you could be trusted with that. And that's a trust, isn't it? It's got to be difficult to be, you know, super talented. I look at some of these people today, man. You become a superstar, millions of people fawn over you. How do you even deal with that? Not well, mostly. That's what we see on the front pages of those things at the checkout counter at the grocery store. Not very well. It's a pretty heady enterprise. And people talking like they're, you know, as popular as Jesus and things like that. And then they get all caught up in their own press releases and eventually many times implode, sadly. Some of them end up taking their lives early by accident, sometimes on purpose. Why? Because they don't know how to behave. And because their choices were not what they could or should have been. No, this is a steward. He says, your thoughts, they're amazing. He says, how great is the sum of them? If I count them, verse 18, they're more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. I go to bed at night, I wake up, and there you are. There you are. Can I tell you how you know he's there? It's the song that he's put in your heart. It's that melody. You may not even have any words. Why is there a buoyancy in you when you've been bad? Where did that come from? That came from God. Especially if you're his child. Now, the funny thing is, as people get older and they're lost people, sometimes they can still sing, but sometimes they only sing bad songs or whatever. They find the songs that kind of speak what they're thinking. Yeah, there's two types of love songs in the world. One has to do with relationships on this level, and one has to do with relationships on that level. Do you know which one lasts forever? The one on that level.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.